Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Well, welcome to Rated G Radio. You are in for a special treat tonight because just in a couple of moments, I'll be miraculously and shockingly taken over by our very own Mary Lou Monroe Ray. She will be calling in live from Brisbane, Australia. She's going to be interviewing Carl James tonight. He is a New Age pianist and a lot more. I had a chance to chat briefly with Carl right before the show started tonight, so I know you will love hearing all the cool things that are going on in his world. But before we get to that, just want to send a big public shout out to a bunch of folks that I got to spend last night with at the Oscars up in Hollywood. We had my good friends, Ann, Nolan, RJ, new friends, Carlos, London, and Elaine. There were some other people that I met, but quite frankly, I didn't get a chance to talk to all of them. So I forgot your name. We're in a picture together. We had it all taken last night, and so that's actually on Facebook right now. You can take a look at that. If we're not friends yet, make sure to go and find me at The Garrett Miller, and I am looking for more friends. But in the meantime, look who is here. Mary Lou, is that you?
Yes, it is. Hey, Garrett.
Hello.
How are you doing?
It's going
Hello.
Great.
Can you hear me okay?
You're coming in just fine. And guess what? Magically, we have Mr. Carl James on the line as well. And I'm now officially turning the reins over to you. You just tell me what you'd like to do in the background, and I will do it. And if we have any guest callers calling in, I'll let you know that too, so we can have them ask Carl questions.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much. Carl, how are you? Welcome.
Great. Thank you, Lou. How are you doing?
I'm really good. We've had a bit of wild weather down here in Australia. We've had Cyclone Marcia. And Marcia, what a wake she left. But
wow.
Anyway, yeah, it was pretty big. But I'm sure most people that will be listening in today will be very comforted by your beautiful music. So welcome
thank you.
To all the Rated G Radio listeners, to you, Carl, and thank you, Garrett, always for having me on the show. I feel very blessed and privileged to be able to bring this to you from down under in the Aussie takeover. So a big welcome to you, Carl. And for all the listeners, Carl is a wonderful solo pianist and a composer. So, Carl, to get everybody involved in your music and to learn your story, can you just tell me how your journey as a musician and pianist began?
Well, when my parents... Oh, go ahead.
No, you go. Yeah. I was going to say, when you were a child, did you play or...
Yeah, when I was three, my parents, we moved, and I moved to a home in Hollywood, Florida. And the residents of that home left an upright piano there for us. And while I was a child, I would watch Looney Tunes all the time with Bugs Bunny and, Daffy Duck. And they would have that one episode where Bugs Bunny would be playing the piano. So I tried to copy what he would do, which he was playing Franz Liszt's Hungarian Rhapsody, which I didn't know at the time, but it sounded really nice. So I tried to copy those pieces on my piano, and my parents saw the potential for a future musician, and they enrolled me into a music school for children over there.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, thank you, Bugs and Walt Disney.
Yeah, and thank you, Mom and Dad.
Yes,
thank you, Mom
course,
and Dad.
Absolutely. Yeah, that they recognize you had a gift. And it's something you obviously love.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And even those people that just seems to be, something very fortunate for you that you have that piano there that you could just, because they're not cheap. I played when I was a child with an upright piano. And unfortunately, I don't play as much as what I used to because we left our piano behind in Canada when I came to Australia. So That's a bit of baggage to carry over all this way. But yeah. I'd like even start and get back to it. So
yeah, I have been truly blessed.
Yes. Oh, yes, and I've heard that in your music. And we will be playing a few tracks, two or three pieces from the Romantic Classical period.
Awesome.
That you have delightfully brought to us. And a very special little piece at the end, I think, that I'm saving for the end. So,
can't wait.
I'm sure they'll be thrilled. It's very beautiful and very soothing. I think I could listen to you all day, Carl. I was playing this morning and I thought, this is just so lovely. Classical music is such a beautiful thing. It's so soothing to the soul and it really knows how to lift you. And, I mean, being there live when you perform must be fantastic. I mean, it's one thing to listen on beautiful pieces on a CD or DVD, but live has just got to be the way to carry people off on a journey, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a very beautiful feeling.
Yeah, and that's how you can tell the real musicians apart. I mean, when you hear someone live, it's just, you know, those arts that it happens with time. It's not like a painting where you just, you know, the painter paints it and then it's there. Music is live. It's beautiful. I don't know how else to explain it. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. Well, you know, most of the universe and creation is made from sound. So, you know, it's from vibrational frequencies. So music, I think, is one of the greatest healers and one of the greatest gifts we were blessed with on this earth. So, and for you to be able to play as beautifully as you do, that's just such a gift. And I admire you, and I know you have many fans. And
I love them all.
And you're a composer as well. Have you done that for a very long time?
No.
Or did that
I've composed two pieces in the past, I want to say 3 years. I've wanted to be able to just sit at home and at my piano and compose, but, you know, life gets in the way and, you know, I have to put bread on the table for my family. So, you know, some things just have to wait.
Yeah. Well, at least you've got a springboard here and a few other places.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I know things are starting to come together and happen for you. And it's wonderful to be able to promote you here. And what I'd like to say, too, is, you know, I think you told me, and I've used this as the caption, that you, I think it's on your page, it's Arrested by Chopin. So, and I know a very special lady, you were telling me, came up with that concept. So can you just tell the listeners what that means, Arrested by Chopin, and why did she say that?
All right. Well, it's a funny story. My full-time job is as a police officer, and I've been doing that for the last 10 years or so. And when my favorite pianist happened to be Chopin, and I just love playing his pieces. He's just like, I'd compare him to Edgar Allan Poe, but on piano. And his pieces they have so much pain and suffering in his pieces when you listen to them, but they're so beautiful. So when I played Chopin, a lot of people enjoy hearing my versions of a lot of his pieces. And one professional pianist named Jade Simmons, who happened to be the Miss America, I believe it's 2000 first runner-up, and she's also a classical pianist. Yes, very talented gal. She connected with me on Twitter, and on my Twitter page out there, and she gave me a quote that happened to have that Arrested by Chopin, and I was like, that's the quote. That's my quote. I love that.
It's great. And it captures you and also in line with your work as a police officer. So
yes.
That grabbed me. I smiled when I saw arrested by Chopin. Yeah, captured. Well, we're going to capture the listeners today and arrest them as well, I think, so when they hear the music. So,
I think that's
wonderful. So you're literally on the beat when you're on the beat. So I suppose that's a terrible pun, but anyway.
Yeah, I'm always listening to Rachmaninoff when I'm patrolling. I've always got the Rachmaninoff on low volume when I'm patrolling, just, you know, kind of doing a lot of mental practicing at the same time, you know.
That must be so difficult. I did post up your piece that you did of Rachmaninoff, and my girlfriend, Teresa, I think she's connected and could be listening in today as well or a bit later. But she said, because she studied classical at the Conservatorium of Music here in Brisbane, and she said, that's really difficult to play. And I said, oh, he's pretty amazing. And I said, and he can see it in his head. So for me, that's just, to see those sort of notes and that sort of musical score in your head, that's just...
Yeah, Rachmaninoff, I mean... Yeah, his piece is just, whenever I hear the name Rachmaninoff, my fingers just tremble. And I'm sure other pianists can relate to that. He had, like, such large hands that it's ridiculous. Yeah, he had very large hands. So he had a large finger span, or wingspan, as we call it. And I think, don't quote me on this, but I believe it could go from like a middle C to a F, like a high F, I want to say, on one hand. Yeah, and it is ridiculous. So when he wrote his pieces, he wrote them for his hands, not for our hands. So when other pianists play, so when other pianists play his pieces, it's just like, oh, thanks, Rachmaninoff, you know.
Well, you seem to have captured it very well. So if you want to listen a little bit of that, that's I heard you play it yesterday. So Carl has posted that up on his Facebook page, which is Carl James, solo pianist and composer. So we've got the links on the bottom of the show page if you'd like to check in and listen to all the other beautiful pieces you play with. From Coldplay and a lot of modern artists too. So it's not just all classical for you, is it?
No.
Although
a lot of my fans happen to be a younger generation, and which is surprising for classical music. You know, I try to pull them in to listen to classical music because, I mean, that's just the basis of all music. And pop right now is very popular. I mean, everywhere you go, you hear Bruno Mars, Taylor Swift, Katy Perry, you know, Lady Gaga, all these pop stars. And that's what the youth want to play. They don't want to play, not all of them, but most don't want to play Beethoven or Rachmaninoff and stuff like that. But it's a stepping stone, you know, to those more virtuosic pieces. So I play a lot of easier pop songs to get them inspired and, you know, get them through that door so that they can find the magic of classical music and music in general.
Well, I don't know, maybe Jack Black did that in School of Rock, because all those
I love that movie. He was awesome.
It was so inspiring. I just loved it. And just some of those children that only had been brought up with classical and then applied it to the rock. I mean, music is fun no matter what you play. But, he loved it. He just realized how talented these kids were, and they could just play anything and read music. And, you know, so I thought that was a great film. And you never know what direction you're going to go in.
Yeah, and you can't limit yourself to just one genre of music. You have, as a musician, you want to study everything. I mean, you want to get as much in as you can to better your own music. You know.
Yeah. Well, even last night I caught the Grammy Awards at a friend's place because I don't actually have a TV. And Lady Gaga sang excerpts from The Sound of Music. What an amazing voice she has.
Beautiful.
Quite operatic.
And,
so,
you know, and I gained a lot of respect for Lady Gaga on that one. That was very out of the ordinary for her. And
it was.
And it showed her true talent as a musician, not just a pop artist, you know.
That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, I think she would have a beautiful operatic voice as well if she wanted to go along those lines or do music or anything. I think she's just opened another big doorway for her. And there were a lot of big celebrities there as well. So, yes, you know, so I encourage any of those people to, you know, enroll your children into some sort of musical instrument or voice, because it's such a powerful gift to have. I couldn't say that enough. And I regret even in my own career that I haven't played piano a lot more. I think I could have gone a lot wider in the field for myself. But I'm a healer, and I find that music is such a healing thing too. So for you, when you're composing for lyrics, or you mainly do compose musical scores, do you ever write lyrics or more musical scores?
No, I haven't been blessed with being a good poet. So I stick to the music, and with the music that I composed, I only compose something when I'm in the mood to compose it and when I have the time, because I don't like putting less than 110% into my music. So when I have free time, I compose those two pieces. And the first piece that I composed, it was for a horror book that I had read about zombies. And I just imagined just walking. I just imagine like walking through a city of zombies for a movie or something, and just putting the drum beat and the piano together with the strings, and it fit through. So then my next piece, which is, I believe you guys have, The Hope, that piece was written, that's my piece. That's my right now it's my pride and joy piece.
Yes, and so. Very beautiful. I was so inspired by that. And we'll let the listeners listen to that at the end. So you're quite a visual and audio person, really. So what catches your attention when you connect to someone else's music, or, you know, that you feel, okay, if I'm going to play a modern piece, you know, what is it you like about some of the ones like Coldplay? Is it the story they tell or the message they bring it across to you? What inspires and moves you as an artist?
Well, are we speaking of like just pop and modern songs in general, or just
what sort of music do you like to follow with other artists? I mean, I know you love Frédéric Chopin. Yeah.
Well, but surprisingly, I mean, like I said, as a musician, you can't just stick to one genre. So I try to listen to as much different music as I can. I mean, I listen to African music. I listen to rap, gangster rap, techno, country, everything.
it all has a signature of its own. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, just like language, any other type of language, it, you know, it derives from another language. So when your music's the same way, you know, you hear a lot of R&B, some rhythm and blues stuff in rock and roll. You hear a lot of, classical music styles in new age music, and vice versa. I mean, it's all mixed in, but just different branches of it.
So what's your main goal you're trying to achieve when you're writing or performing or composing?
To hit the heart of the listener.
Okay.
To have the listener to if the listener can attach something from their life to my music, that's my goal. That's what I'm always going for. Because like that song Hope isn't just for me. It's for everyone, because everyone has that moment in their life or those moments in their life where they have hope for something, or, you know, they don't want to give up and they need that extra push to keep moving forward. And that was the whole reason behind me writing that piece.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. All right. Well, maybe we can just play a couple of your pieces at the moment.
Sure.
Jared, if you don't mind, we'll put a very romantic, because you are a bit of a romantic man yourself, as Chopin was. Yes?
Yeah, so they say.
Although he had a tragic life with his beloved wife there, but I'm sure your wife, is. She let you out of the house, I know that much. And it's very sad that life did lead Chopin, but obviously his music was his outlet to be able to express himself.
That pain and suffering that he had, I mean, he could have just kept it to himself and, you know, been all emo about it, but he decided to compose music for the piano, and, I mean, it's still playing till this day, and he still lives on through his music.
Okay, well, maybe we can just play the first one, I think, which is lovely, is it's just a sample. It's just a shorter piece. Nocturne, number 10. So that was, pardon me, in the 1800s.
Oh, I love these nocturnes.
Okay. Beautiful, you play that so beautifully. And,
Thank you. You can
feel the emotion, and I mean, you really capture the essence of his life and how he was feeling. It's almost like you've channeled Chopin through to express his different moods and his sadness and the pain he felt. So this Nocturne number 10, what was that about, that piece? Do you know any history about that at all?
I do not. I just went with all of Chopin's pieces. Before I learn a piece by a certain composer for classical music, I like to study the life of that composer, so I could kind of get a feel, you know, for his lifestyle and what he might have been feeling when he composed those pieces. And with Chopin, it was just a lot of sadness. His health wasn't always, you know, very good. He died very young. I mean, I put all that together and I portray that in his music. And that's why I believe I can capture that on his pieces.
Oh, and you do. It's just, I could feel it pulling at my heart when I was listening. And but you also love to teach children music as well.
Mm-hmm.
You have students, yes, that you teach piano?
I have one student at the moment, Rogelito. You know, hi, Rogelito, if you're listening.
Hello.
I'm just... I'm just teaching one right now because of my work schedule, my school schedule, my music schedule. I mean, it's crazy. I hardly get any sleep because I'm so proactive on stuff. But
oh my gosh. What are you studying?
Yeah, I'm doing it as a favor for a good friend of mine to teach his child. So.
Could you also like to add a little spice to some of your pieces, which I thought was really cute, to keep it fresh, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
So with this next piece, Waltzer, what do you mean by spicing it up? What do you like to do? Just explain that to our listeners.
Well, on a lot of classical pieces, I mean, you hear a lot of pianists play the same piece, yet it sounds a little bit different on each pianist. That's why a lot of people have different favorite pianists, because they play it in their own style. Well, I like to incorporate strings and drum beats and different. I experiment with different types of instruments along with the piano. And with Chopin, I tried using drum beats and stuff like that, but it just didn't feel right. The Chopin that I studied in my head, the Chopin that I studied and stuff was like telling me, "What are you doing?" You know, so I put that to a quick stop. But I added some strings and kind of at the beginning of this piece, the waltzer piece I play, you hear like a wind up toy winding up to the piece.
I love that. Ah, okay. I thought it was a wind-up clock.
With that, I just imagine, you know, a small child on his bed, you know, missing his father or his mother or someone he loves that gave him that toy, and he's winding it up and just watching, you know, the toy going, and then it flows into the actual piece. And that's what I was imagining.
That now then, so this is Waltzer number 150 from Chopin.
Thank you.
Oh, that's just beautiful, Carl.
Chopin was a genius.
Yes. I love how you used the use of strings in the background. It really sort of carried you along with the music. It's very beautiful. And I love that wind up in the big. That just made me smile the first time I heard that. That's great. It's very inspirational. And you had that's quite a unique signature for yourself as well.
Oh, yeah. So, and you could tell Chopin wrote that for somebody he really, really cared about because you could hear it.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And you play it so much with that same passion because you obviously love, you know, what you do. So do you feel yourself, have you learned anything yourself through your music and your writing about you as a person and an artist or a performer?
What was that again? If I enjoy writing music about myself?
Yeah, have you learned anything about you as an artist, as a performer, a composer, as a person through playing music?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, before I discovered classical music for myself, I kind of limited myself and my playing abilities by playing nothing against, you know, New Age, which is what I enjoy playing. But it kind of limited my finger techniques and my style of playing. But once I discovered classical music, like Chopin's music, Beethoven, Rachmaninoff, my skill level just skyrocketed. I mean, it was so drastic that I could see it in front of my eyes. Just playing their pieces were so difficult and so technically challenging that it forced my playing to improve greatly. It's just like weightlifting, you know, and you see those huge bodybuilders in the gym, you know, they didn't get like that lifting light weights all the time, you know, they
yeah,
had to, you know, they had to put more weights on there and, you know, slowly but surely, you know, they can lift 400, 500 pounds, you know, so yeah, it's same thing with music. You just have to keep challenging yourself. And a lot of children, when they're attending music classes and stuff like that, I'd say about 8 of 10 kids usually drop out of the class because it gets too challenging for them. And the parents listen to them. And when they say, oh, I don't want to take piano anymore, or I don't want to take whatever musical instrument, you know, anymore.
Yeah.
But that's the point where the parents...
Sorry, I was going to say, what would you say to to a child's parent now that wants to get their child involved in music? Would they start with something simpler that they like, or is it better to start off classical so that they can play anything then, just to keep their interest and their motivation?
The most important factor and advice I can give a parent who is interested in getting their child involved in music is to find a good teacher. I can't stress that enough. They have to find a good music teacher, either by word of mouth or by, you know, rating. Nowadays, there's a lot of internet sites where they can find, you know, ratings on different music teachers and professors. And but if the child decides that he doesn't want to play anymore, what I would advise the parents to do is try a different teacher. Maybe it's the teacher that they don't like, because different teachers have different styles of teaching. So
you have to understand how a child, you know, responds better and and especially if they're by the teacher. And I imagine you would be a wonderful teacher if you you know, expanded your career there and things started to really change for you. So, I mean, I know being a police officer is a way of life, but, you know, if your music did grow and you started performing in more places or wanting to teach, you know, would you change your career then, do you think?
As long as the guarantee was there to put bread on the table for my family and to take care of my family, then yes, I would.
Sure.
You know, and that's, yeah, that's, you know, family is the most important thing for me.
It is. It is. Family first, I always say, too. So,
and Mary Lou?
Yes.
Just to let you know, we do have a caller, so whenever you're ready, we'll jump to that, but I'll defer to you.
Okay. Carl, are you happy to have a caller call through right now and ask a question?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Cool.
Sure.
Okay.
Caller,
so area code 407, you are live with Carl and Mary Lou. Welcome to the show.
Hello,
hi, welcome.
Carl. Hi, Mary. It's River.
Hey, River.
Hello.
Wonderful pianist here, River.
Yeah, listen, it is so great. Wow, definitely incredible. Listen, I had a question for you, Carl. All right?
Yes, River.
Do you think that a composer should try to reflect in their music the truth of the nature and the vision of the dreams?
Okay, can you repeat that? I was cutting off on my end.
Okay. There might be an echo. I said, do you think that a composer, when you try to compose, do you think that it's okay to try to reflect in the music the truth of their nature and the vision of the dreams that you're trying to put out to appeal to the audience?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, you know, you have to play and compose with passion, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just something you have to do. And I think Beethoven even said, you know, to play a wrong note is insignificant, but to play without passion is inexcusable. And that quote right there changed my whole perception of playing.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I have to agree with Mary. I think you definitely possess Chopin's music, his work.
Thank you.
And you said earlier that you are not a poet, but Chopin was definitely considered a poet of the piano.
Oh, exactly. Yes. And, you know, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I'm not going to stay. It was nice to talk to you finally. And you guys
same
take
here,
care.
Robert.
Yeah,
well, Mary, I shall speak to you later. Yes,
okay.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Okay, see you later. Okay. Yes, beautiful River Cruise,
yes.
Carl. How did you two meet? How do you know each other?
We met through Instagram, on my Instagram account, Carl James Pianist. You know, we met through there. I don't remember if she commented on one of my photos or if I commented on one of hers, but, you know, social media nowadays is so wonderful. I mean, a lot of musicians can meet up with each other, you know, drive off each other's passions and just, you know, improve their own music by communicating with other fellow musicians. And it's just awesome.
Yes. And they understand the language of music between the two of you and what that drive and that passion is. And she's very passionate in her playing. I love her faces. I love your faces, River. And also, she's won 3 Beethoven Awards, which is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And
very impressive.
We hope to have the show, a bit later on down the track. But getting back, that was lovely to hear from her. So,
hearing from her when, like, musicians such as her, when they comment on my playing and they give me those types of compliments, that is so much more inspiring when someone with that kind of background, the 3 Beethoven Awards, I mean, when somebody like that compliments your music, that is such a great inspiration to keep going and doing what you're doing. And that's what I try to do with these youth, you know.
Yeah, and she's a Juilliard graduate as well. So, and that's a tough school to be in. But you recently saw Robin Steinberg, is that correct? You met
Robin
Steinberg?
Robin Spielberg.
Spielberg, pardon me.
Spielberg,
So, for some of those in Australia that don't follow classical music, because we're not all really AC/DC, But we, you know, we do have different genres. But we're helping by you and me coming here and people like River to bring classical a little bit more open to a lot of our listeners today that are listening in Australia. So, Robin's been, you know, a concert pianist, or she plays classical. Is that correct?
Yes, she's very into the classical, especially the Beethoven stuff.
Oh, okay. So you do like to go and listen to Beethoven as well, but love Chopin.
Yeah, and sometimes we give each other a hard time jokingly, like, you know, since I'm Chopin, she's Beethoven, so we kind of, you know, we tag each other on photos with jokes and memes about Beethoven and Chopin, but it's all fun. It's all fun and games.
Yeah, but still, it'd be very inspiring to listen to her perform. And do you learn, you know, things about watching or listening at live events for yourself and
being there?
So have you got any performances coming up for yourself?
I have a performance coming up at the beginning of next year at St. Episcopal Church here in Yuma, Arizona. They invite a lot of classical pianists to perform there. And they didn't know until recently that they have their very own classical pianist right here in Yuma, in the Wild West, Yuma. So, you know, that's going to be a treat, you know.
So they bring people from other parts of the state, but they only just discovered you? Oh, my goodness. Well,
I was always that one guy that kept bothering the pianists after they played to ask them for their autograph and, you know, ask them for advice on playing. And then one day, it's just the piano was there, and I just sat at the piano, and I started playing Chopin's Fantasy Impromptu. And the priest of the church, the pastor of the church, was like, wow, where are you from? And I said, here. I live here in Yuma.
Sure, they'll be coming up to you next after they hear you play some Ramen. I can't even say it now.
It's okay. I can't pronounce those names. It's okay. And that's another thing that kind of upsets me about some classical music geeks. Is that a lot of people, they get offended or you're not pronouncing the names right. Who cares? As long as you can appreciate the music, relate it to something in your life, you know, that's all that matters. And that's something I think that drives people away from classical music, is that whole, you know, the whole nose up in the air type attitude. And we need more people like River and other pianists and classical musicians that are trying to popularize classical music and trying to show people that classical music is for everyone.
That's right. That is correct. And it's so beautiful. I grew up listening to it in my family, so I have a great appreciation for it myself. And I'm very blessed that my parents actually did that for me. Mm-hmm. So, apart from performing and writing and composing, is there anything else in your life you are passionate about, apart from your beautiful wife and maybe one day family? Is there anything?
I like cars. I was just talking to Garrett about his yellow Mustang that he has. A beautiful car. I love cars. I currently own a BMW. I have a lowrider, 1979 Monte Carlo. You know, it's just things that you don't think a pianist is interested in or owns. You know?
Hey, you're a guy, you know, guys are into cars. And some girls, too. So, you know, life isn't all about study and, you know, I mean, yes, you do have to practice, but, you know, life is out there to be enjoyed. So,
it's like my father used to tell me, you know, you study hard, you play hard.
Yeah, yeah. And you play better. You know, you do, even for a vocalist, you know, if you stop performing and singing, you hear the difference in your pitch and the strength of your voice. So it is something that you have to nurture and look after, is these gifts that we're given. And we are blessed and given these gifts for a reason. So, and your music,
I've heard you sing. I've heard you sing, Lou, and that you are amazing.
Just want to throw that out there. Thank you. Yes, I do love to sing, and I am very much the same as you when I say I like to reach people from the heart. And if I can help to open one heart or take them to a place in themselves to help them remember or give them hope, then that is what I'd love to do too. So we might actually play this beautiful piece now, which is Hope for All of Us, that inspired you to write this piece, because there is much needed, I think, at this time in the world. There's a lot of fear and a lot of suppression out there at times, and we need more beautiful beings like yourself that are very inspiring and take us in a journey just to be able to get away from that pain or the hardship of things. And music's something that should make us dance or make us want to twirl and swirl and take us on a journey to relax us and to remember that not everything is too hard or has to be broken. You know, there are things in life that are inspirational, and the more we are moved by that to a place of joy, you know, it changes who we are inside. It helps us to see things in a better perspective and in a more beautiful way, because the earth is a beautiful place. There's magical people out there like yourself, like Garrett, like River, like all these wonderful guests that we bring to you that tell these amazing stories and have these amazing gifts. And we are all capable of having those things. It's just, I think, that belief in ourselves.
Very much so. And yeah, I couldn't have said it better.
Yeah, and owning the gifts that you have, and, you know, and playing with it and running with it joyfully. So you wanted to make this song Hope to inspire people to move forward and to know that there is hope out there, that things can change. Would that be a fair statement to make?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, well, we'll get Garrett to play that, and when we come back, we'll talk a little more about where we can reach you for your music. Enjoy.
All right, sounds good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Don't go. Oh, wow. Whew. That was very moving.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I can. I'm a bit speechless right now. hang on, I'm pulling myself together here. I really feel the angels are just with you when you write.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and that's for everyone. Everyone can relate to that.
Oh, it's just so beautiful. So how can you, okay, let us know, for people that want to find your music, can you just give us the, you know, have you got a CD that will be coming out soon, or are you working on any projects at the moment to have more of your music performances out there that they can purchase or find?
Yeah, so if they go to cdbaby.com, they can find a lot of, they just type in on the search, Carl James Thompson, and they can find my music on there. I just came out with a live album where I play here in my hometown of Yuma, Arizona. And yes, I play at the beautiful Yuma Old Theater in downtown Yuma. And I'm currently working on David Land's cover album, where I perform nothing but David Land's repertoire. And he's a New Age pianist that inspired me a lot when I was younger. So,
fantastic. Isn't that wonderful? A dream come true, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. And, that's what I'm going for right now at the moment. So.
Okay. And if somebody wanted to book you for a performance, I know obviously you have to work around your schedule as a police officer, but if they book you in, do they just contact you on your Facebook page, which you'll also find here on the show page as well? And I think I've posted some, can post some links up again. But it's Solo, it's Carl James Thompson, solo pianist and composer. Do you have a website as yet, or?
Yes, the easiest one, which has links to every single social media site I have, is at www.caryljames.com. That's CaryljAmes. And that has links to my Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. And if they want to email me directly, they can email me at carl_james@yahoo.com.
Okay, and that's Carl, C-A-R-Y-L, listeners. So,
correct.
Oh, that's great.
Very unique
name. I have
name.
A feeling. Yes, And, you know, you
spelling.
Do have some stuff on YouTube?
Yes.
Do you, or that's
just, is that Carl James Thompson for the YouTube?
Yeah. Okay. So they can listen to some of your beautiful pieces there. And so when did you actually start getting more into the classical side in your career? You know, when you said that really made a difference and it improved so much, obviously. I mean, you're a player. I know you talk about the technicality of playing, and that's an intricate part of being able to perform. But you do play with your heart and your soul, and I think that makes a huge difference to a performance and to reaching out with people in connecting to them.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So,
and
how old were you? How many years ago did you start playing classical? I mean, you played beautifully. It's like you've played your entire life. So is that what you started with classical when you started playing at the age of 3? Did you just play simple things or, you know, nursery rhyme things to start you off to learn?
Well, I started with that, trying to play that Franz Liszt Hungarian Rhapsody No. 2 by Bugs Bunny, but that didn't work out quite well when I was 3.
Did you do it now? You must do it now in your performances.
I can do it now. Thankfully, I can do it now. But, I mean, Bugs Bunny still beats me at it. Like, you know, he still is flawlessly plays it with his gloves on and everything. So, you know.
We'll have to get you a set of white gloves.
I think he played with his ears, too, at one point. But that's not going to happen. But,
yeah.
No, I just went to, you know, I started with that music school at, it was at ASM Music School at Cooper City. Shout out to them. I had a wonderful piano professor. Her name was Jeannie. She passed away, though, when I was like 11 or 12 years old. And at that point, I wanted to quit because I didn't want any other teacher, you know. And regretfully, I didn't play piano for my teenage years until at the end of high school. And that's when I started back up again.
And what inspired you at the end of that to want to play again?
David
After
Lance.
All that time. Oh, David.
Lance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for other artists.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. We inspire each other.
Yes, and it reminded you of who you were and the wonderful pianist mm-hmm. and composer you are. I really look forward to so much more of your music, Carl. And
thank you.
You know, it's been such a pleasure to have you on, and I'm sure there will be a lot more people wanting to listen and watching out for your performances and any events you may have, and you'll have quite a few followers, I have no doubt. So is there mm-hmm. any last words of wisdom for somebody, you know, that you'd like to leave with us?
Just for all those young students or any, I mean, it doesn't matter the age. It's never too late to start playing piano. And it's a great joy in life, and not just the piano. I mean, I'm being kind of, you know, you could any instrument, any musical instrument. If you play music, it will turn your life around for the positive. And, you know, just go and get inspired from other musicians and don't worry about playing wrong notes because, like Beethoven said, it's insignificant. And that kind of limits you when you worry too much about playing the wrong notes and all that. As long as you play with passion, that's all that matters.
And, that's right. And that's how you learn to find your own voice, I think, or your own style of playing is when you make those mistakes and then you try and find your own way through it until you just shine. So
definitely. Just like everyone has their own unique voice in singing, same thing for any instrument. I mean, it's the same instrument. You're using the same thing, the same vocal cords, the same, you know, piano strings, the same guitar strings, but it's you that people, your soul that people hear when you play it. And that's what's beautiful about music.
Yeah. Well, Carl, I just want to thank you. Sadly, our time's up a bit today. And thank you so much, Garrett, as well, for having
thank you. What a fun time to sit back and listen today.
Yeah.
Yes.
Should I do a couple shout outs?
Really fast? Yeah, you got time. Do them.
All right. Okay, I want to say thank you to my mom and dad. They, you know, if it wasn't for them enrolling me in music, this would not happen. So I know they're listening right now. Thank you very much. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, Mrs.
And my wife, Maribel, and all our family, you know, they're great inspiration for me. My coworkers, friends at Arizona Western College, ASM Music School in Cooper City for giving me the lessons and the music I needed to improve. Pianist River Cruz, Robin Spielberg, Jade Simmons, and David Lance. And all my fans on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook.
Wonderful. I'm sure they're thrilled listening today, Carl. And Mary Bell, yes, you have a wonderful husband, and she's so beautiful. I saw you both in your photo on the way to see Robin perform. And I think you told me that when you'd first met Mary Bell, she didn't know you could play, did she?
Nope. I didn't let her know until about a year after.
That's a big secret to keep.
I just, you know, I like to do a lot of, I mental practice a lot. I know it's kind of bad that I'm saying this because a lot of students are going to not want to practice anymore, but I really don't practice physically that as much as I do mentally. And that has helped me out a lot. And, I mean, other art pianists like Glenn Gould, he did the same thing. Like, he practiced a lot mentally, you know, walking in the park and just imagining the music in front of him. And when you get to the piano, it just flows into your fingers. And I don't know how to explain it, but it helped me a lot.
I think that's a very unique gift that you have to be able to do that, though. So, you know, thank you, Frédéric Chopin, for inspiring and channeling through this young man, but I'm pretty sure he's finding his own notes. Like I always say, there's 88 keys on a piano, and with that you can create an infinity of music. So thank you, Carl.
Exactly. But,
hopefully we'll hear your new album when that comes out, when that's released. Can you just quickly tell us when that you think that might be released?
I would say in about 2 or 3 more months, so probably in May or April, it'll be out.
Yeah. Okay, great. I look forward to that. All right, thank you all the Rated G listener, Rated G Radio listeners. I'm up in the clouds at the moment. Thanks for listening in. It'd be lovely to speak to you again soon, Carl. And thanks, Garrett.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.